Hi, I'm Shay.
And I'm David.
And you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, where we talk about board games and board game related topics. On tonight's show, we will be discussing what we've been playing, the news, and continuing our topic from last week, because we had more thoughts on the matter and not enough time. How do we know when a game's going to be good? No, that's not what we talked about. That was the week before.
That was completely... We're going to talk about second editions, or reprints of games, or rehashing of games.
Yep. No, I knew that was wrong as soon as I said it.
And we're going to continue on that. Yeah. We'll. I don't think we need to go back to the other one.
No, you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can do this one instead.
Yes. Why don't we start with what we've been playing?
Sure, yeah. You want to start? I'll start.
I'm
obviously on a roll today, so why don't you start?
Yeah, I'll start because yours is going to go longer.
I actually am going to talk about, like, a game in length today.
So I played Obsession. This is Downton Abbey, the board game. I've never seen the show. Don't only know that it's Victorian England and something to do with the help in a castle, basically.
Not really.
No?
No, it follows the lords and ladies.
Okay, so I thought it was the staff that was the main characters.
Nope. Not that I understand. My understanding is the Bridgertons are... Hey, everybody, do you want to know what I learned about Bridgerton based on TikTok? The Bridgertons are one of the major families of the Ton, of the big group that's there. And each season, if it follows a book series, each season takes place during, like, the party season, the ball season, basically. It starts off with, you know, introducing mainly the young women, and then it's balls to try and get those women to basically meet men and marry, right?
Yeah.
But it is a love story, so it's, you know, finding love as well as getting married, because in this time that's what you had to do. Plus, it follows, like, Queen Charlotte and King George, and there is a spin-off series based on Queen Charlotte and George when they were younger.
Okay.
That's supposed to be very good. The show's supposed to be excellent. It's based on a book series. It's supposed to be a lot of fun. But yeah, it follows the high-ranking people, not the low people.
Okay, so what we've discovered is I know nothing about Downton Abbey or Bridgerton.
Correct. I know nothing about Downton Abbey other than it has Maggie Smith in it.
Okay. And so in this game, it's worker placement. You're hosting events and sending your staff to these events. And then you have to send nobles, or the gentry, I believe is what they call. You do this over about 12 rounds. Some of them are just scoring rounds. Some of them, you're trying to get the most of a certain type of building, and you know what it's going to be before you get to that round. This has got a very loyal following right now. A lot of people are very excited about it. I know Amazing Stories has brought in a bunch of copies and have sold out, I think, pretty much all of them. And there's only one distributor in Canada you can get it from, who is actually an online retailer.
Oh, okay.
It's very odd. It was a decent game. It was solid. I didn't get any of the theme out of it, but I can miss theme with the best of games.
Yep.
But it was solid mechanically. It's not one that I have to own by any means, but I was happy to play it, and if somebody brought it out and said, we want to play this, I would play it again. All in all, solid game.
Sweet.
Yeah, you?
I got Wormspan in.
Wormspan.
I think I talked about this last week because it had showed up the day we recorded.
Yeah.
So we got to play it that Friday. So I had 4 days to learn it. I basically learned it the day before. But I still think I did okay. So Wormspan is the spiritual successor to Wingspan, as the name suggests. This is a game from, I want to say Stonemaier, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, I was thinking Jamie and, okay, Stonemaier Games. It is not designed necessarily by Elizabeth Hargraves. The name is escaping me. I have it on here, hold up.
Yeah, it's...
Who's the designer?
The person who did Apiary.
That's it.
I can't find... Oh, it's up there, but I can't see the name.
Oh, Apiary? Yeah. I'll see if I can get it. Okay, I got it on BGG. Connie Volgeman. is the designer. And then at the end, Elizabeth Hargreaves came in. They brought her in and did some, not to say polishing, but helping to refine it. Development. Yeah.
So what I've discovered in games is there's designers of games and then there's developers of games.
Right.
Right? So somebody will sell a design of a game to a company, and then they usually have people in-house to
develop it
yeah. more into a finished
product. Along with playtesting and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, for sure.
So they all worked on it. And this is different from Wingspan. It is not a direct copy of Wingspan that they put dragons in.
Yep.
If you've played Wingspan, it definitely helps you understand the game. But there are differences. So just like Wingspan, you are going to be collecting cards that you are going to play in front of you. The cards will have dragons instead of birds on them. However, instead of just getting those cards and then putting them down right on your board, you actually have to explore the caves. That's where you take something called an excavate action. It's where you have these cave cards that you're also collecting now. So collecting two types of cards. You excavate a cave, you put the cave card down, you get the bonus that's on the card, and now that space is open for you to place a dragon on. And you start with three of those spaces open. You can take the entice action, which lets you put a dragon card down. And there are four things that are on those dragon cards, either a when activated, a when played, so you get it immediately, end of game, or end of round. So four different times those can activate. You do which if it's when played, you do it right away. As the explore action, when you're exploring, that's where you take your little guy, and it's fun here. So normally in Wingspan, when you take an action, whatever is in that row activates, right, for that action. In this, you can take the actions and you pay coins, and those rows don't activate until you do the explore action and you actually go through those rows. And you're going right to, or left to right instead of right to left. So you go around, you go over each space, and each space on the card and also in between the cards will give you something. Either, depending on which row you're on, it could be a resource, could be a dragon card, could be a cave card, could move you up on the guild track, and whatever the card has about when activated, whether that's stashing cards or cashing resources, getting bonuses, that's all decided based on what's on your card. Once you get to the end, you're done. You put your little guy back, and that's your turn. You can take one of those three actions there. And you go around and you take your turns. Unlike Wingspan, where you have cubes that you use as your actions, and once you're out of cubes, you're done. In this one, you spend coins. Every action costs at least one coin. And it's possible to get more coins based on cards you play, so you can actually have more actions a turn than other people. It's very handy to get those extra coins. I had them the first few times, and it really helped me out. There's also the Dragon Guild track in this game. It's a little track that's in the middle of the board that has a tile in the middle of it. Each time you get to move up on the Dragon Guild track, you get a bonus based on what space you pass or land on. And once you get halfway through and then all the way around, keep going, you get to put a cube onto that little board in the middle, and it's going to give you some kind of bonus. Either spend something to get something, play something for free, or get victory points at the end of the game. That track I ended up not using very much. I think I only got two cubes on it. It's possible to get up to four. That's the maximum you can put out there. But that's where your cubes come into play now.
Okay.
And then there's the end of round. So just like Wingspan, it has end of round scoring. There's four rounds, and you take your turns until everybody passes.
Cool.
Can
you pass with coins?
Yeah, you can keep your coins.
Okay.
But they recommend playing all the coins. Like, in the rulebook, they say it is really not useful to spend all of your coins because you get income at the end of each round. You're going to get six coins and an egg at the end of each round.
Okay, so it's not useful to save
any. It's not really useful to save any coins unless there's really nothing you can do that's worth one coin. But you can basically always explore. Or you can almost always explore. You can almost always play a card that's in your hand. It's rare. We never found any opportunity where somebody had coins and they couldn't do anything.
Okay.
And I guess I didn't mention what the eggs are used for. Like Wingspan, you can collect the eggs on your board and they're worth points. You do spend them as you go along the columns, just like Wingspan, except this time it's just for the caves and not for the dragons. You also spend them in the explore action. So you can explore a cave once for one coin. If you go back to the same cave, it costs a coin and an egg. And if you go back there a third time, it costs a coin and two eggs.
So is it just the explore actions that get more expensive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything else stays the same. Playing a dragon, just like Wingspan, you pay a coin and the resources that are on the dragon card.
Okay.
And the caves, those never, cave cards never cost anything more. It was just spend a coin.
Yeah.
And then the eggs, if you get farther along.
And then they got rid of the rolling the dice for the resources, yes, so you can always get the resources you want.
Resources are a little harder to get in the game. Because you can get them by exploring. The one cave will give you, right off the bat, one resource. And then if you get three along, you get another resource, and you can pick whichever one you want.
Okay.
But the only other way to get resources is the cards. Either cards by cashing and getting something. Like a lot of hatchlings will be cash a resource here. When you cash a resource, get a different resource. Or cards that you play that just say, get this resource. There's definitely more cards that give you any resource, like you can pick, than I'd say there are in Wingspan. Also, this game has a lot more cards that are, you do something up to three times, everybody else can do this once, which is interesting. There's cool. more of that, so you it helps you get resources as well, if you're willing to spend stuff.
Neat.
Yeah, it's, honestly, I really like the game. You kept asking me which one I liked better. I don't really know. Which one I like better? I really like the theme of dragons. I thought the art is adorable. It comes with a book just full of dragon facts. And it's just a lot of fun. But I think both games play really well. This one has more choices, more to do in it, but doesn't necessarily add complexity to it. At least I found. Yeah. And this is me having played Wingspan before, so that helped for sure. We played it 5 people. It seemed to play pretty well. Yeah, I really enjoyed this game.
Cool. Okay, that's what we've been playing. Let's get into the news.
Yeah, let me get into it. I am not ready at all because I was still talking about my board game. Okay, so from Plaid Hat Games, a game called Wandering Galaxy is coming out. This is from Jerry Hawthorne, who did, oh man, I looked this up, the Stuffed Fables. Yeah. Stuffed Fables. He did Stuffed Fables.
So it's another Crossroads game?
It is another I was just about to say that. It is another one of the it's the third in the Crossroads series. And in this one, you are explorers charting the edge of space, basically trying to get rich.
Okay.
This is also Plaid Hat Games' first Kickstarter.
Oh.
Or first crowdfund is what that said. So they haven't really done one before. This is their first foray into it.
Well, this is the company that was owned by one person. He brought on a partner, and then he's left the company and has started up his own company again, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Cool. From Grail Games, a game called Snowcrest. Now, this is real early. It's coming out 2025, so it's pretty early for this one, but it sounds really kind of cute. It's an animals game. You are animals, anthropomorphic animals, which has been a theme for years at this point in board games. And it's, you're the leader of a village, and you're trying to lead your village and monastery to enlightenment. So you're building structures, you're farming, meditating, and seeking knowledge for your monastery.
Okay.
The art looks pretty cute. It's up in a mountain. It's kind of neat. Game from Gold Seal Games. It's called Four Forests. You are a guardian of an enchanted forest, so one of four guardians of an enchanted forest, and you're trying to each prepare your forest for mythical creatures that may visit. Which sounds really cute, and then the game sounds super mean.
Okay.
or a little bit mean. You're gaining, there's like kind of four things you can do on your turn, but the main thing is you're gaining plant cards and passing the cards to other people to collect enough cards. With those cards, though, as you're taking turns, you can either put them in your hand or place them down in front of you, or place them in front of the animals, and those can upvote or downvote the animals, so they become more or less valuable, basically. So you can secretly vote for them, so people don't know how much those animals are going to be worth, and you're trying to entice those animals. So it's possible you entice an animal that then becomes worth a lot less because of how people vote.
Okay.
So you can basically kind of screw people over.
Okay.
But the art looks kind of cute. It just, as I read, I'm like, wow, that sounds way meaner than I was expecting it to be. There is a film festival called South by Southwest. I am mildly familiar with it. This year, they're debuting a film called The Hobby at It. And The Hobby is a film about board game culture and about the board game community. It's going to feature a bunch of designers that we know, like Elizabeth Hargraves and Eric Lang. And they're just going to be basically talking about board games. So I'm interested to see that when it comes out somewhere that I can see it.
Yes.
But, sounds interesting. They're just kind of talking about board games.
Cool.
Some Lacerda games. Two of them, actually.
Yeah.
The next one from them and from Eagle Griffin Games is Speakeasy. This is the one with Ian O'Toole art. It is a worker placement and card management game. I recommend people look up the history behind this one. It's kind of interesting. You're running one of the mobs in 1920s Manhattan, which is just at the end of Prohibition in this case. In Manhattan at that time, most of it was run, and the mobs were mostly run by Lucky Luciano, I believe is his name.
Yeah.
And they worked out a code, not codependent, but they worked together. They didn't attack each other, and they stayed mostly in their own areas, and they kind of worked together to avoid basically bloodshed and war, right?
Yeah.
So they had deals with each other. So in this, you're each running one of those mobs. Oh yeah, the other thing about it that's cool is it kept other mobs from forming, so it kept everybody kind of in power. In this, you're running one of those mobs, and you are trying to increase your power, but like without basically starting fights with people. You can steal from them and you can make deals with them, but you're not really fighting. But you're just trying to get money based on the name.
Yeah, this is his next big box game. Yeah. I think Inventors is...
That one's finishing and supposed to deliver soon.
Yeah, like I think the people that paid for the expedited shipping are getting it. The rest will get it in about 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smaller one, it sounds like.
Yep.
From Eagle Griffin Games and Lacerda. Called Helfafados. I'm probably not saying that right because it's based in Portugal, I believe. There's a bunch of history around that too that I'm not going to describe nearly as well because there are words that I cannot pronounce, but I recommend people go look it up because it's also interesting. It has to do with restaurants that have music playing while you're eating. And that's what you are. You are running a restaurant and trying to make menus and move staff around. They say it uses the bump mechanism like the Gallerist has to move staff members around.
Okay.
I have not played the Gallerist, but I assumed you would know what that meant.
Yeah, you have a central area and you're moving stuff out into the different areas, and the further into those rooms or buildings and stuff, they get more powerful.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then last thing I have here is I'm not going to go through the whole article. I think people should just go read it. There's an interesting article on BGG that was originally featured somewhere else that talked about colorblindness and accessibility, specifically with Wingspan and Wormspan. It is written by somebody who was the, basically one of the playtesters. I don't know if they said, I'm just going to look it up. I don't know if they said unpaid, but proofreaders, basically. They were a paid freelance proofreader. So basically going through and looking at it and giving advice on making something more colorblind friendly. So they compare the original Wingspan, then the Wingspan expansions, all the way up to Wormspan and how they've become more and more colorblind friendly.
Yep.
Wormspan, they say, you know, is very accessible because the writing is not on low contrast colors. There's no fluff text. What's the word I'm actually looking for?
Flavor.
Flavor text on the cards. It's all in the little book. The sizes are easier to read because they're just written as small, medium, large, and hatchling. And the, I can't remember, aggressive. Like if they're aggressive or shy, those are written in both color and a easy to read font. The fonts are bigger. Yep. So it just, they were comparing how that has improved as they went along. So yeah, I recommend everybody go read it because it's something that I think is really interesting in games, talking about accessibility and colorblindness, because there's lots of games that don't do a great job at this.
Yeah, and we discover these because
Jordan is color deficient and has trouble seeing some of the cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Colors.
Some of the colors, the cubes and stuff will get him as well.
Yeah.
So there's games that we're aware of that are harder for him to play.
I will never stop making fun of Azul, the third one. With their color picks for the tokens being black, gray, white, and brown, and like tan. Those are the worst.
Yeah. No, and exactly. And there is some newer games that their color palette is very well done in those regards. One big one that you missed. We are a month from me backing Adventures of the South Tigris. Third of that series. And I think we talked last week that they announced the East Empire is going to be the name of the last one. And they tease that there's going to be maybe a 13th game. Something about the Middle Kingdom.
Maybe. Right, because they've done all of them now, right?
This next trilogy will be the last.
Is the last, because they've done Northwest and South and East, so.
Yeah, and they joke that people are always bugging them that they're going to do Southwest and East-West.
Would be cool, though, you know? Like, you're expecting it to be done, and then they give you the one kingdom to rule them all.
Yeah, exactly. So exciting for the end of the South, and curious to see what they do with the East. They said that they haven't designed any of it yet, or they're working on the design. Don't have any details, but it may be more interactive than some of their other ones, where the other ones were a lot more.
Yeah, do something different, right?
Yeah. And they've done a good job. Like, this last series has been very different than their other stuff. And really looking forward to that. Okay, I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
You're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, sponsored by Amazing Stories.
Yes, thank you to everybody who came out to our game night last week. We had a record, 28 people who came out?
28, and Jeff came in for a minute, so I'm counting 29.
29, and we filled that room.
Yes.
So
if we get over 30, it is not going to be pleasant in that room.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody who came.
It's awesome. And Jeff was very thankful that everybody came out. And we really appreciate there is a game night there next week as well, hosted by Mr. Rao. Yeah. Okay, let's dive back into or continue our conversation on... What were we talking about again, Shay?
Oh, I think it was it was train games.
Yeah, train games.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about second editions.
Second editions, reprints, that type of game.
Yeah, we kind of talked about, now correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously I remember nothing about what we recorded last week.
Yeah.
But we talked about reasons why they might reprint them, such as them being culturally insensitive.
Yeah, and we talked about the money aspect. The
money aspect, yep.
Yeah, and there's games that are out of print that they're bringing back.
Yeah.
One series we didn't touch on last week is The City Collection by Stefan Feld, which...
Falls into money grab as well as out of print. And...
Yeah, they're bringing back out of print games. He is helping with the redesign of some of them, adding some features. In general, the reprints and redone games haven't been as well liked or loved as the originals.
Right.
Some of the changes they've made, people haven't been that happy with. I own three of them. Two of them are reprints or redones. I haven't played them yet. I need to play them to speak on that aspect of it.
Yeah.
The third one is a fresh game, Marrakesh. So that doesn't really pertain here. These games started out at a reasonable price, and the first Kickstarter was very successful. The second Kickstarter, they raised the price significantly, and they've been less and less successful as they've gone forward. 7 and 8, I think, are on Kickstarter right now. One thing about Queen Games is they do all their printing in Germany, so it's not going to be as cheap as other locations.
Right.
That being said, I think people would have been happier with just reprints instead of redoing some of these beloved classics.
Yeah.
Right? That is one way to do it. There are lots of games where, somebody's looked at a game and said, I did this early in my career. It was okay. I can do better.
Yeah.
Garpil Games with Shipwrights Redux, that was just shipped or delivered, is one of those. It was his first game, I think, he released. And he's like, it was okay, but not what I wanted.
Yeah.
I've played the original. It was okay. Same thing. Like, it's not at the same level of some of the other ones. I'm curious about the redone one. Paul has it. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. But we will get it to the table because we both like his games.
Yeah. I mean, Gloomhaven is another version of that, too, and their second edition of it. And I talked about this a little bit last week. In the second edition of it, they changed some of the things with some of the factions and some of the classes because they found that either they were overpowered or that it just didn't use it well enough. And it wasn't what they necessarily wanted for people to get out of the game.
Well, and he brought in some cultural appropriateness people to look at it.
Sensitivity readers is usually what they're called. Yeah. There's an episode. You can find the episode probably 100 episodes back where I try to think of the word sensitivity reader and I could not think of it. So there you go.
Yeah. And they looked at it from that perspective as well.
Yeah.
Which is something we talked about last week as
something
well.
Very popular in the TTRPG space.
Yes.
Also, hey, can I add something in from the news that I forgot that I wanted to mention? It is Black History Month, everybody. Mm-hmm. And there's a very interesting, not really thread, but thing going around on Twitter right now that is a play on the trend of, yes, I'm this. This is what I do. Of course I do this, right? And it's, yes, I'm a person of color in the TTRPG space. Of course I blank. And you should all go read it because it is a little horrifying, but also really good to know when we're talking about cultural sensitivity in the board game community.
Okay.
Sorry. you brought it up and I meant to talk about it. I apologize.
No worries. But yeah, so like Gloomhaven and Sky Mines we talked about last week is that rehash or looking at it and cleaning up the subject a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, in Sky Mines, it's throwing out the subject and redoing it completely in a different location. Still similar mechanics, but done much, much better.
Yeah. And that's the thing. There's lots of games that have amazing mechanics to them that they just didn't choose a great theme for. So reprinting that to make it so that more people can enjoy it, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that.
No, exactly. And, you know, the other common trend right now is a second printing on Kickstarter, which they bring an expansion usually.
Yeah.
But often they are redoing the rule books.
Yeah.
To get you better rules.
Yeah.
Cleaner rules. There's one in my head, but I can't think of what it is. Masters of the Universe. They've redone the rule book in the last Kickstarter that just closed. And people are getting it for free if they backed it previously.
Right.
So that's a good thing as well.
Yeah. I mentioned some of them, a game that was getting reprinted for this reason, or kind of for this reason last week. Artwork, another common one. I mean, we've seen it in Steffenfeld's games for redoing it and getting different artwork, better artwork. The one I was talking about last week is For the Queen is getting a reprint that it sounds like the rules are pretty similar. They might have changed a few, but also it's brand new artwork in it.
Yep.
For fun, right?
Yeah, and that artwork is very common for people to change in a second printing. Shipyard, as I mentioned last week.
And also if they're special editions.
Yeah, exactly. So there are lots of these.
Lots of reasons.
I like them. I don't get all of them, but it is a way for me to get older games that are out of print.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
Talk to you next week.
Have a good night.